Mercy and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. And what a blessing it is that He is risen not just from the dead, but risen to the right hand of the Father. I often think it would be a lot easier for us to believe in Jesus if we saw Him face to face, wouldn't it? If Jesus were just to stick around with us all throughout creation until the very end of time, if He was living and reigning with us here upon the earth, certainly everybody would look at Him and believe and tremble. Yes? No. That's not how that works. God appears in Jesus Christ, and we murder Him. That's how that works. People turn against Him. People refuse to believe in Him. People try to trap Him. People do awful things. I mean, yes, Jesus was this miracle worker, right? The one who would come in and He would do things like make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the mute to speak, the deaf to hear. He would turn things like water into wine. He would walk upon the water. He would make two loaves and fish into an entire feast for His people. And still people look at that and they say, well, you're still not giving us everything we want, and so we're going to kill you. Because that's actually the way this works. It really doesn't matter how much you're given, you're always left wanting more. That's really what it's all about, our own selfish desire. And because God doesn't give us everything we want, our sinful hearts are going to kill Him. That's why we can confidently say as Christians that you and I are guilty of crucifying the Lord of life. You and I, if we had been there that day, we would have been the first to strike the nail into His hands. We would have been the first to whip Him upon His back. We would have been the first to weave the thorns through His skull. We would have been the first to spit on Him and mock Him, disparage Him. Because that's what it's like when God comes among sinful people. He dies. Which is not to say that He is ever going to die again. I mean, if Jesus had decided to stay with us after the resurrection, if He had not ascended into heaven, it certainly would have been different. But I don't think anybody, as long as we are still in our sinful flesh, would have turned to Him the way that we think that they would. It's not going to happen. As long as we fight against this sinful flesh, we're going to continue to fight against God. Thanks be to God, however, that we are called by the Holy Spirit into faith, that we might believe. Because if it were up to us, we would all reject Him. But that Christ has called us, that the Father has called us, that the Spirit has called us to faith in Him, that we might have everlasting life, this is a great blessing. And that's why we gather together each and every single week to give thanks to God for what He has done in us and what He is doing to us and what He will do for us. The disciples are kind of an interesting group. These are men and some women even who had abandoned Jesus. Normally when you see disciples, you've got to figure it out in the text. Is this just talking about the apostles, or is this talking about the whole company of disciples? Because you've got to remember, there were a lot of women in the disciples. And this, as far as we can see, is all of the disciples, all those who had followed after Jesus. But these men and women had abandoned Jesus. There's only one who had remained faithful, and that's John. Maybe his mother Mary. But all the rest ran away. And yet, Jesus had brought them back into the fold. He had gathered them from all of their scattering into one place, here as far as Bethany. And that's a good thing to remind us that even though we fall, our Lord restores us too. He brings us back to this one place, this church, this congregation, where we can hear the Word of God, and we hear that God is with us, and we hear that He wants us, and we hear that He's never going to leave us, no matter what it is that we do. For as often as we come and repent of our sins, He comes to us with the forgiveness of sins. And the disciples were the same way. They repented, they were forgiven, and they spent 40 days with Jesus. And I've heard some people say this must have been the best seminary experience of all time. 40 days of Jesus just pouring knowledge into them. And sometimes I wonder if that's true. If it was 40 days of Him pouring that knowledge into them, or if it is, as our text says today, He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. He gave them the key. Can you imagine just being able to look at the Scriptures and understanding every single doctrine that's in there? I don't even do that. I'm pretty smart, but I don't even do that. I look at some of these things and I wonder. But Jesus opened the disciples' minds. And what we have then from the disciples is this whole collection of books, for all the way from Matthew through Revelation, of the disciples pouring the knowledge of the doctrines of God that He had opened their minds to receive. And what we have after the apostles have left the earth, we've got the teachings of the church fathers and those who were there near the beginning. And we have them exploring the doctrines that the apostles received from Jesus. And then we've got the people after them who are exploring those doctrines. And the church keeps going as it is until today. Jesus Christ opened the mind of the church, His body, to understand the doctrines that would be before us in the Scriptures. And that is a blessed thing. Of course, the only doctrine that we really don't understand completely, at least really not very well at all, is the doctrine of the Trinity, which we'll talk about next week. That's fun. But this week we look at what Jesus is doing. Jesus is coming to His people with knowledge and with truth. And then Jesus disappears. He's taken up into heaven. And the clouds hide Him away. And the disciples are peering up into heaven wondering what has now happened. In Acts, which Luke wrote, he writes a little bit more of what he wrote at the end of his gospel, that these two men appeared and they said, "Why are you looking up into heaven? Jesus, who was taken up into heaven, will return the same way as you saw Him go up into heaven. Why are you looking into heaven? This Jesus is coming back." But what does that do for us in the meantime? What does that do for us between the time Jesus ascended and the time of whatever it is that He's coming back? I mean, Paul expected Jesus to be coming back any day. He honestly, Paul, if you read his writings, did not expect to be seeing the chopping block. There we go. A little brain tickle. He did not expect to see the chopping block for his head to be cut off in Rome. He thought Jesus was going to come back before Paul would be murdered. Peter certainly thought that as well. Of course, we know the end of Peter's story where he had to watch his wife be crucified. He was forced to keep his eyes open and ponder this for days and days and days. And when it came time for his crucifixion, he said, "I'm not worthy to die in the manner of my Lord." And he was crucified upside down. These apostles all thought Jesus was going to come back before them, but Jesus didn't. And the church has been waiting now for 2,000 years. And we may be waiting another minute, or we may be waiting another 2,000 years. Of course, none of us are going to be here. Or another 2 million years, God forbid. We want Jesus to come back soon, but we don't know when. This is why He tells us to be prepared. Because as comfortable as we are in our lives could end at any moment, not just by death, but by Jesus coming back, and everything is set into place. Our faith, or a rejection of Jesus. But Jesus here ascends. And you think for the disciples who have been through so much with Him. They were taught for 3 years by Jesus. They abandoned Jesus. They came back to Jesus. Jesus taught them. You would think that they would be extremely upset. But what does it say at the end of Luke? They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We also have great joy in Jesus Christ. Not because we're happy that He's not here. Not because we think we've got everything figured out, because we don't. Not because our lives are in order. That certainly wasn't the case for the disciples. If you remember what happens in Acts right after this, they're gathered in the upper room because they're still kind of afraid of what all the people are going to be doing. I think I said next week we're celebrating the Trinity. Next week we're celebrating Pentecost. I was wrong. 2 weeks is Trinity. Next week, we're going to hear of the Holy Spirit coming to them and indwelling them and being with them and gathering to Christ the great harvest of people. But here in this week that they're going to sit between the Ascension and Pentecost Day, they're still gathered in joy and in fear. And I think that's the Christian life. Joy and fear. And I know that's kind of a weird thing to say, that as Christians we should be fearful, but we should. We should fear God, Jesus says, who can destroy us body and soul into hell, and we have great joy that He is not going to do that. We fear Him for His power, and yet we have great joy in His mercy. We fear Him for His ferocity, and we have great joy in His loving kindness. Jesus revealed to the apostles, to the disciples, the truth of the Scriptures, this truth of great joy, this truth even, yes, of fear. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Not just because they knew who God was, because that's us, right? That's just kind of like the basics. That's a basic understanding that they know who God is, and they give God glory for this because of all the things that He has given to them. I mean, they've received the baptism of water. They've received the forgiveness of sins. They received the supper in which Jesus would come in His body and blood to them and forgive them and strengthen them. They receive all the same things you do. This is kind of the basic stuff. But here's why they really returned with great joy. And this is why we can have great joy even today. Because Jesus is closer to us now than He is if He was just present before our eyes bodily. Jesus is closer to us right now that He has ascended on high than He would be if He were here upon the earth bodily. As Jesus is God and man, He can do whatever He wants, but as far as we can see in the Scriptures, Jesus is only ever in one place at one time when He is in the body. He's with His people where He needs to be in order to spread the gospel, to spread His church. And if Jesus were here today bodily, that's certainly what He would be doing. But because He is now ascended on high, because He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, a seat of power, a seat of authority, a seat that says, I can do whatever I want in the name of the King, He is then able to share with us His nature. Not just His divinity, but also His humanity. Because He's ascended on high, He can give to us Himself. He can give to us Himself in ways that we could not possibly comprehend. He gives Himself to us in our ears. And we have Jesus close in our ears as He comes to us by His Word. And we hear those words, I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He comes to us and is close to us here. And He comes to us even upon our bodies as we're washed in the waters of baptism, where He washes us in His blood and we make our robes white in the blood of the Lamb. We are washed and our sins are taken away from us and put upon Him. He's given Himself to us that He covers us head to toe as we walk through this life. And if that's not enough, and it's not, He gives to us His body and blood that literally goes into our bodies, that strengthens our bodies. And strengthens our souls that we might live unto life everlasting. He gives to us Himself in the ear, on the skin, on the body, and in the body that we might have Him close to us always. And He goes with us in wherever we go. And He wants to be with you wherever you go. And so He is. We are each carrying Jesus within us, even as He surrounds us, even as He fills all things in the universe, for He is God. And God does this. And you are then this little Christ, carrying Jesus into the world for your benefit and for the benefit of others around you. Jesus is now closer to you than if He were standing in front of you bodily. And that is reason for great joy. That is reason for giving God thanks and praise. That is the reason we live confidently in the strength of Jesus Christ, knowing that He is at the right hand of the Father and He is in you, reigning at the right hand of the Father. God dwells in you. And that's really what we look at Ascension Day. That Christ has risen up into heaven and He now dwells with you. That where He is, there the heaven of God is. So that where you are, the heaven of God is with you too. We celebrate this Ascension Day. We celebrate His resurrection. We celebrate His rising into heaven. And thus we can confidently say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of the Lord be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen.